Tom Hall. This is Midday. According to the Washington Post, as Rudy Giuliani spewed a rambling, incoherent rant of wild claims yesterday in a cramped room on Capitol Hill, Trump campaign officials were closing up their headquarters in Roslyn, Virginia. On the Midday News Wrap, legal scholar and justice correspondent for The Nation, Ellie Mistall, on the last gasps of the president's legal challenges to the election. Plus, on today's installment of Smart Nutrition, the nutrition diva Monica Reinagle and sleep psychologist Dr. Jade Wu of Duke University talk about the connection between sleep and weight management. Have you found that the day after a restless night, you've got an outsized appetite? How tossing and turning can lead to cravings and weight gain? That's on deck today when Midday starts after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate your spending part of your day with us. As the country falls deeper into a morass of a surging pandemic, the president has ignored the coronavirus and through hundreds of tweets has attempted to rile up his supporters around allegations of election fraud. He fired Christopher Krebs, a respected professional who was in charge of cybersecurity in the election, in apparent retribution for telling the truth about the integrity of the vote. And in a press conference yesterday, Rudy Giuliani and other members of the president's legal team carried on for more than an hour and a half with claims that aren't even close to true. Even some of the personalities on Fox News have continued to distance themselves from those claims. We begin today with the Midday News Wrap. My guest is Ellie Mistall, the Justice Department, or rather the Justice Correspondent for The Nation magazine. Hi, Ellie. Welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we don't really have a Justice Department that functions anymore. I just kind of notice.
That'd be a demotion if all of a sudden you were the head of the Justice Department instead of the Justice Correspondent for The Nation. So the end game here, Ellie, is... We've heard Mitch McConnell and other Republican leaders say the president has every right to pursue these legal challenges. But I want to ask you about that. As a matter of law, is the fact that the president is delaying the transition process legal?
No, I mean, we're at the point, Tom, and I've been trying to figure out how to say this as clearly as possible. We're at the point where Trump's lawyers should be sanctioned for bringing frivolous lawsuits into the courtroom, right? There's this rule, it's called Rule 11. It's basically a rule that says lawyers have to bring suits that they believe themselves are meritorious, right? That they have to have some kind of actual legal reasoning to bring the suit. Otherwise, they're just wasting the court's time, and they can be punished for that. So when Trump says, and he said this on Twitter, other Trumpers have said this on Twitter, that they won this suit, it was a Michigan lawsuit. They won a suit that they withdraw from because they succeeded in causing further delay. That's an illegitimate reason to file a lawsuit. And the lawyers should be sanctioned and punished. Now, I believe that they won't be because there are entirely too many cowards in our institutions. The Trump administration has proven that out over the past 4 years, that our institutions are fragile and unwilling to hold Trump people accountable for their misdeeds and crimes. But make no mistake, and your listeners should know, what Trump lawyers are doing right now is textbook unethical. And they should be reprimanded and sanctioned for doing it.
And how about the fact that the president has summoned some top Michigan Republicans to the White House to speak about the elections? And he's evidently, according to some reporting, asked his aides what other Republican officials that he could call in other battleground states to prevent the certification of results. He's evidently also called some members of election boards around the country. Is that legal?
It's election interference. If Trump was any other man, if Lindsey Graham, I think specifically, was any other man, they would be brought up on election interference charges. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do what Trump is doing. I could not go and force a board of elections officials to come to my house so I can berate them on how they need to throw away thousands and thousands of votes. That wouldn't be something that I would be allowed to do as a private citizen. There's no actual reason why Trump or Lindsey Graham are allowed to do the same thing. Again, they're getting away with it because our institutions are staffed by cowards who won't hold them accountable. So even as we see, I mean, part of the story is going to be that, look, Trump is losing. Trump is going to lose. Trump already lost, is losing, will continue to lose, and will eventually be kicked out of office. All of that will happen. And when that happens, as that's happening, there will be a lot of people, institutionalists and centrist Democrats especially, who will claim the institutions held, the center held against the Trump. No, it didn't. All right. The fact that Trump is losing is only because his arguments are terrible, and he lost overwhelmingly. But make no mistakes, the institutional inability to hold Trump people accountable is an institutional failure. And people should know, because this, you know, you said, Tom, what's the end game? The end game is different depending on who's playing it. But for a lot of the Republicans, the end game is not to steal this election. This one is already gone. It's to steal the next one. All right. They're laying the groundwork and the framework. They're normalizing post-electoral attacks to throw away votes so that they can steal the next election or the one after that. Anything that's closer than this, so they can steal it.
And how about the fact that they may be delaying things so that they can destroy evidence? I mean, literally, that thought has definitely occurred to me, and I'm sure several others. I mean, that the longer they don't ascertain, and the longer the Biden team doesn't have access to the normal stuff, including agencies and documents and people and offices, it gives them more time to destroy things that may be incriminating in future lawsuits. Is that possible?
Again, of course it's possible. The Trump administration has violated the Presidential Records Keeping Act since the moment they took power. They've never abided by that guideline. They've never kept good records about their doings and misdeeds. Some of that came out during the impeachment trial. So of course I believe that they are also using this time to shred whatever it is they think that they need to shred. It's very clear, and it's been clear for some time, that the post administration prosecutions of Trump's crime family and other wrongdoers in the government are going to have to be carried out by the states. State attorney generals. I live in New York. Tish James seems to be on it. State attorney generals are going to have to do this work because the federal Justice Department will not be in a position to prosecute. I think in a lot of situations will not be in a position to prosecute wrongdoing from this administration.
Yesterday, in this press conference that Mr. Giuliani gave with some other members of the president's legal team, he said, "We have enough evidence, even without a lawsuit in Wisconsin," because they lost that, "to overturn this election. We have it from affidavits of American citizens, but it's a matter of national security." So many people have commented that you can say pretty much any darn thing you want in a press conference. You can't say that kind of stuff in front of a judge. And on the times that they have tried to, the legal folks have said that kind of stuff in front of a judge, the judges have slapped them back. But to allege that they have enough evidence to overturn the election, how do you understand this as a legal premise and as a legal strategy? Is there any way to understand it as a legal strategy?
No, it's a lie. Lies aren't legal strategies. They're just lies, right? These people are 1 for 31 in court with their claims. You know, that's worse than the Mets. All right, that's they have a worse record at this than my Mets. All right, that's how bad they are at this. They have no legal justification for anything, and they never have. The thought that courts just don't throw away votes, that's not what courts do. Courts can recount votes. Courts can order recount votes. They can order votes counted in this way or that way, but they can't throw away legally cast, timely cast boats. That's just not something that they do. So the strategy of actually overturning the will of the people is legally dead on arrival. Now, the fact that they are saying the quiet part out loud, and the fact that they are openly saying that their goal is to overturn the results of the election, the fact that there are people who have been very clear that the votes they want overturned are from Black people. I mean, one of the not subtle things that's happening right now is that the Republican Party, from top to bottom, is laser focused on places where Black people live. They want to overturn the votes in Philadelphia. They want to overturn the votes in Detroit. They want to overthrow out the votes in Milwaukee. Why? Why Detroit, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia? What's special about them? Well, yeah, Black people live in those cities. Yeah. That's what's and special.
When Mr. Giuliani says, if it weren't for Wayne County, which includes Detroit, we would have won Michigan. So we need to throw out the votes in Wayne County, and you'll see that we won Michigan. There's all sorts of things. You know, if he hadn't carried the state of, you know, California, he wouldn't, you know, right. Biden wouldn't be the president-elect. I mean,
That argument is literally, if it weren't for people who voted for Biden, Trump would have won the election. Yes. Yes. Correct.
Indeed. You wrote a really interesting piece about one of the big law firms working for the Trump campaign, Jones Day. It's in D.C. It's the fifth largest firm in the United States. They have 2,500 plus attorneys, $2 billion of revenue. Does this, you know, taint them moving forward? And with whom? I mean, they are clearly collecting multi-million-dollar fees for this. Are they just sort of taking the money and run? Or do you think, you know, as a lawyer, I mean, you're a legal scholar, you went to Harvard Law School. How do you think this is going to, you know, redound to them a year from now, 2 years from now?
Unfortunately, I don't think it will take them very much. I mean, look, there's part of the reason why I wrote that piece was to try to explain to people that Jones Day is kind of already tainted. I mean, this is a firm that kind of really came to prominence doing big tobacco litigation. That's already a taint on the firm. People still work there. Good people still work there because they pay people a lot of money. It's kind of what lawyers do. But I do think that their representation of these cases, and again, what we're talking about, we're not talking about representing an unpopular client, right? Like that, lawyers do that all the time, and I defend lawyers who represent unpopular clients. Defending unpopular clients is one of the most noble things a lawyer can do. That's not the issue with what Jones Day is doing right now. They're defending untenable arguments. They're making frivolous, bad arguments in court. And that is an ethical question for a lawyer more than anything. Jones Day has, you know, a penchant for making unethical arguments in court. They're kind of cool with it. Not all of them, but you know, at a management level, they're kind of cool with that. And I think people knew that even before this string of Trump representations. The money that they're getting from Trump, it's not that much. $20 million, I know it's a lot. I mean, for you and I, $20 million is a lot of money, right? You mentioned, Jones Day rolls $2 billion a year in revenue. $20 million over 4 years is a drop in the bucket. So they're not doing it for the money. They're doing it for the power. They're doing it because 14 Jones Day lawyers were put into the Trump administration on day one, which is unheard of, right? They're doing it because Jones Day lawyers have infected this federal judiciary now. They're doing it because a Jones Day lawyer, Don McGahn, got to pick two of the last three Supreme Court justices. That's why they're doing it, that power within the Republican Party. And because of what the Republican Party is right now, they will not, the Republican Party will not punish Jones Day for this representation. And so Jones Day will not be punished for this representation. But you know, there is that, you know, you can't buy respect. And there are lawyers, there are people who will not respect the firm because of these unethical arguments.
We have 30 seconds left. What's your critique of Bob Bauer, the lead attorney for the Biden campaign? How do you think the Biden campaign is doing in terms of their legal strategy to get these things moving along?
I don't really have a critique. I mean, it's how do you critique the a monkey behind a cage is throwing stuff at you? Like, how are you supposed to deal with that, right? All you can do is kind of wipe it off, take a shower, and keep it moving forward, right? And that's basically Biden's legal strategy. Again, these people are 1 for 31 in court. They are getting worked by the legal system. And I think credit has to go to the Biden legal team for, you know, staying in the course. And you know, they show up every day. They're not surprised. That's the biggest, you know, in my last bit, the biggest difference between what we're seeing from the Democrats now versus 2000 in Florida is that the Democrats were caught flat-footed in 2000. They did not expect the Republicans to challenge that election the way that they did. For this one, they were ready. And the losses in courts are in part because the Democrats were ready for this.
And Ellie, I'm ready to go out on a limb and say that next season, the Mets will start their season better than 1-31. I promise. I promise. I feel it in my heart.
I hope so, man.
Ellie Mistel is the justice correspondent for The Nation magazine. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Coming up, the connection between weight management and sleep. It's another edition of Smart Nutrition. That's on the way after this quick break. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.